Do you think of Jesus Christ as your brother? How about your son? In Mark 3, Jesus called his followers his brothers, sisters, and mothers. What does it mean to be a brother or sister or mother to Jesus?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
How is your relationship with Jesus going lately? I'm not talking about your relationship with God in general. I'm talking specifically the second person of the Trinity, your interactions with Him. When you post about a relationship on Facebook, there's different options you can have. You can one of the options is it's complicated. Have you ever seen someone do, like, if you know a teenager, if you ever see a teenager, then they post in a relationship on their Facebook, you watch them, and then within about 2 weeks, it'll change to it's complicated. If we posted about our relationship with a second member of the Trinity on Facebook, that's the designation we would have to use. It's complicated. Not for the same reason that the teenagers use it, but because it really is a complex, multifaceted relationship. It's complicated. As your Savior, you look to Him for salvation and forgiveness of sins. As your King, you bow before His authority. As your Creator, you submit to Him as the owner of your life. As your Mediator, you look to Him for justification. As the Son of God, you worship Him. As the perfect man, you follow His example. There's all these different facets. Your relationship with Jesus might be stronger in some of those areas and weaker in others. But if you're like most Christians, you probably never think about or put any effort into or even maybe know about or appreciate this aspect of your relationship with Jesus that we're going to talk about tonight. But it's important. It's emphasized in Scripture, and Jesus brings it up in this text in a very dramatic way. So let's talk about Jesus as our brother. Just to give you a sample, we could do a whole sermon or series on Hebrews 2, where it talks about Jesus became our brother in order to be an ideal high priest. He had to be made like his brothers in every way in order to experience all that we experience. Jesus was not one bit ashamed to call you brother. He's not ashamed to be your brother. It explains how Jesus became our brother in order to fulfill God's plan for the exaltation of the human race. Remember when we studied Psalm 8 and we found out that God's plan was for mankind to rule, to be supreme over the whole creation? And we look around, it's like, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing mankind reigning over the supernovas. And he's like, yeah, we don't see it now, but we see Christ who fulfills that for us, right? He comes, he reigns over, he became a man, he became our brother, and then now he reigns over everything. That fulfills that whole Psalm 8 plan. We read that Jesus had to become our brother in order to be able to die. He couldn't die as God, so he became a man, he became our brother, so he could die in our place and be exalted in our place. We don't have time to really talk about any of that tonight. So let's just tonight, just focus on the relational aspect. Jesus, our brother. Let's go back to the question at the very beginning of the Bible study. How is your sibling relationship with Jesus going right now? I can actually remember the first time I ever paid attention to the lyrics of the hymn Joyful, Joyful for the first time. And we're singing and all of a sudden there's a line in there that says, God, our Father, Christ, our brother. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, what? No. And it sounded like blasphemy to me. It's like, Christ, my brother, Christ, my King. Christ is my God, he's my Creator, my Lord, my Master, he's not my brother. And I just didn't know the Scriptures well enough. I didn't know the Bible taught this. And I, just going by my own impressions, it didn't feel right. It seemed wrong. Because brotherhood is kind of a peer relationship. Your parents are over you, your siblings are beside you, at your level. And that just, like, it didn't compute for me. And it really doesn't seem to compute in the book of Mark here, because the whole book, he's just been portraying Jesus as this unique Son of God, exalted above everyone else. So now, for him to suddenly describe our relationship with him as this horizontal, even kind of sibling status, is unexpected, to say the least, in the book of Mark. But none of that is a problem if you just realize that everything that the rest of the Bible says about the supremacy of Christ over us still stands. He's still our Lord. He's still our God, our King, our Master, our Maker, our Creator, all of that. But there are aspects of brotherly love that Jesus also wants to share with us. He wants to share every kind of love with us. And you can see that if you watch his friendship with the disciples in the Gospels. Just watch his friendship. You know what I told you before when he called the 12 and that they might be with him? He pointed to them apostles that they might be with him. And I said, that's for training? It was for training, but it wasn't just for training. It was also for companionship. There's no indication in the Bible that Jesus had any other friends besides these guys. And that's striking to me because one thing I've noticed is most big shots are only friends with other big shots. And these disciples, they're not big shots. They're not even medium shots. These are some of the littlest shots there are. I mean, these guys are just, they're nothings. They're nobodies. And yet, when Jesus took some time off for rest, he wanted to be with them. In John 13:1, it says he loved them to the end. In his darkest hour, the night before he died, when he was just falling apart, he longed for their companionship. He just wanted them to stay with him and pray with him. It almost sounded like he needed them. And if you're a follower of Christ, did you know that Jesus desires that kind of companionship with you? When you're talking to the big boss at work, you know, the CEO or something, you're standing up straight, you're all business. But when you're just like talking with the guys out at the loading dock or something like that, you let your hair down a little bit more and you're yourself. You're never more relaxed when you're with your brother or sister. I was watching in church the other day, these two little kids, brother and sister, were sitting in front of us. The sister was sitting so close to the brother, she's watching his Bible and he's going through. And by the end of the service, she's only like on one third of her chair. She's all just like right up against her brother. It was just perfectly natural. It was just the neatest thing to see. There's a side of my personality that I think nobody has ever seen, really, like my siblings saw it growing up. I've known them longer than I've known anybody else, except for my parents. But I'm guessing my siblings will outlast my parents, and so that'll be the longest relationship I ever have. This is a special kind of relationship, and Jesus wants that kind of relationship with you. He wants your worship, he wants your awe, he wants your fear, he wants your reverence and your obedience, all that. He still wants that, but he also wants you as a sister or brother. He wants that unique kind of familiar, warm, close, lifelong, uninterruptible love where you share the realities of life. You share the little things, the tiny things in life that you don't talk to anybody else about. That bond of brotherhood, that camaraderie, that family loyalty, that family priority, all of that. He wants our sibling type love. He wants that from us, but more important than that, much more important than that, is we get that kind of love from him. He's the perfect older brother. He's the perfect older brother. And if you don't have a great older brother, yes, you do. Yes, you do. What does an older brother do? What's an older brother's role? When I was growing up, I have an older brother, so I can tell you. My older brother, when we were kids, was a unique combination of companion, teacher, and protector. We shared a bedroom. We talked about things I never talked to anybody else about. He was a protector. I'll never forget the day I was flying a kite with Donnie, and we came around the corner, and there was Mark Washington, who was the scariest bully. Mark Washington's terrorized me like no other bully ever did, and I never came out well when I ran into that guy. But this time, Donnie was with me. It's the only time I ever ran into Mark Washington was someone else with me, and it was Donnie, and I jumped behind Donnie. Donnie was kind of a little, I think we were the same size at this point. I don't know that he's any bigger. He might have been smaller than me, but I jumped behind my brother. And Donnie stood up. Mark Washington probably could have waxed both of us easily, but Donnie stood up to him. Nothing happened. We got away just fine. That was the only time I ever felt safe in the presence of Mark Washington. God made brothers to be protective, and especially of sisters. When we were little kids, I was just real little, and I remember something dropped off the shelf in the kitchen and landed on my little sister Carolyn's toe and crushed her toe. And she cried so hard, and I couldn't stand it. The pain I felt was almost unbearable because I couldn't do anything to help her. And to this day, when that memory comes to my mind, I can't even think about it. I hate that memory. That's the natural kind of protective, compassionate love that God planted in elder brothers for their siblings. It's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if you're one of Jesus' followers, maybe you don't have a sibling like that, but if you're one of Jesus' followers, you realize that Jesus has that kind of love for you? That kind? When something lands on your toe, something threatens you, he feels that special brotherly compassion. He puts himself between you and spiritual danger. And more importantly, he's strong enough to shield you from any spiritual threat if you just jump behind him. Another thing I remember about my brother is the things he taught me. He was a teacher. He taught me all kinds. He taught me how to fly a kite. He taught me all kinds of stuff about science. He loved science, and he really sparked my interest in God's creation because he taught me so many fascinating things about science. I loved that. I remember one time he explained inertia to me. And not long after that, we were sledding. We were in a sledding hill with a bunch of other kids. And I was right next to these high school kids, these older, bigger kids. And I made this comment. I don't know, I was probably trying to show off my vocabulary or something. I made this comment. It's like, oh, my inertia is going to carry me all the way down to where I'm going to, you know, really get a long run. And this high school kid corrected me. He said, it's not inertia, it's momentum. I didn't say anything to him, but I remember thinking, I'm going to ask Donnie. Is it inertia or is it momentum? And if Donnie told me it was inertia, it wouldn't matter if Albert Einstein said it's momentum. If Donnie says it's inertia, Einstein's an idiot. That's how I felt. Turns out it was momentum is the correct term. Donnie attached a pen holder to his Bible. I don't even have my Bible here. You can see it. I got a pen holder on my front of my Bible. That's me walking in my brother's footsteps. I want to be just like him. I remember the day we were in a tent and camping, and he warned me about temptations and various sins and how they're a trap, and he was explaining. I can remember the exact time and place when he was teaching that to me. Older brothers teach younger siblings in times and places the parents can't reach. No one can reach into those moments and contexts of life like an older brother can, and Jesus does that for us. He wants to play that role in our lives. He's right there beside you in the events of life, teaching you how to think about them. How to deal with them. So that's Jesus' brother. What about this thing about Jesus' mothers? How many of you really think of yourself as Jesus' mother? You spend a lot of time thinking about Jesus as your son. that's just like, it's strange, right? Sounds strange, but Jesus mentions it three times. We have to think about it because he mentions it three times in two verses. Who are my mother and my brothers? Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Now, again, we can think of this in both directions, our love for him and his love for us. Regarding our love for him, there's a very special kind of love that exists only between mother and child. Anybody disagree with that? I mean, there's nothing like it in the world. There is no stronger love. There is not any stronger love. There are a lot of people that I can think of who used to love me, but something happened that they turned against me, or they just forgot about me, they moved away, and out of sight, out of mind, whatever. But there's never been a moment when I've wondered if mom still loved me. Never. I make myself obnoxious to other people and they'll turn against me. I make those very same moments, mom does seem to activate more of her love and compassion for all those consequences of my obnoxiousness. If you're a mother, you have capacities for a depth of love that are unique in the human experience. And Jesus wants that kind of love from you. If you're a mother, you have a capacity to love in a way that just is unique. So you can love Jesus that way. But again, that's not the most important piece. The most important piece is him loving you like a man loves his mother. And this is something that all of us, men and women, can appreciate. There was a commercial I saw on TV the other day where this older woman is sitting on a couch, and all of a sudden this guy just bursts in her front door, and he's flying in the front. He's winded and he's all alarmed, and he's like, "Mom, I'm here. What did you need?" And she says, "Oh, I just wanted to show you that I figured out how to use the TV remote." And it's a funny commercial, but it illustrates the point about how if a man gets a call from his mother, he drops what he's doing and comes, right, to help her. No one has access to you like your mom. That's why it seems so shocking in this story when Jesus is sitting there and says, "Your mom's outside," and he doesn't go outside. It's a shock. Most of us would not do that. We would go out there immediately. Even if you don't have the most blessed woman of all of history as your mom, like Jesus did, still, even if you just have an ordinary mom, still, she calls you on the phone, do you just put her on hold? I don't recommend it. What would happen right now if you got a call right now from your mom saying, "I'm in trouble, I need your help, please come help me"? Would you just say, "Sorry, Mom, I'm in a Bible study. Try 911. No. No, you'd just drop what you're doing. You'd go. You'd probably respond right away to any kind of a call from your mom. She wanted you to come. But if she's in danger, distress, or something, nothing could hold you back. That's the love of a son for his mother. And that's how we are in our natural sinful state for our imperfect love with our mothers. What kind of love does the perfect man have towards his mother? If someone so much as insults your mom, you get the black eye, right? That's like the classic thing. You don't insult mom. I mean, but how do you think Jesus would respond if somebody, like if Mary were in danger and she's screaming for help? How do you think Jesus would respond? How do you think Jesus responded after Joseph died and he walked in the house and he saw his mom crying? What do you think activated in his heart? Whatever natural response of love a man has for his mother, crank that all the way up to perfection, and you know what Jesus, how Jesus loved his mother. And what he's saying here is that he has that kind of love for every one of his followers. He loves you like his own mother. That kind of priority, that kind of urgency. I don't know what you think about Jesus' attitude toward you, if you think he's sick of you or whatever, but Jesus is just like us. He enjoys being around family. And you can meet Jesus anywhere, but the place where you're most likely to run into him is the place you're most likely to find anyone, in their own home with their family. If you want to draw near to Christ, come to family gatherings. Spiritual family gatherings, the church. And if Jesus feels this way about his brothers and sisters and mothers, how should we feel about our spiritual siblings? Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." As often as you can today, stop and think about the fact that Jesus Christ wants to enjoy a sibling-type relationship with you. Even a mother-son kind of relationship. It'll take some thought and effort. Our relationship with him is complicated, but that's part of the beauty of it. Instead of letting your relationship with him become one-dimensional, explore it all.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? A simple post on social media can change a person's day. This season, the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark. Over 130 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.